Good evening. Welcome back to our Wednesday night service. We're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we are slowly inching down to where we want to actually get to, which is where it starts talking about the body, where it starts talking about the church. But we've learned so much here already, and we're going to start in verse 7. I'm not going to reread all this. We've read it several times. We're going to start verse 7, but I do want to say this, that we see as we study how God works in a person. God the Father was involved in salvation. God the Son was involved in salvation. And God the Spirit was also involved in salvation. And we also find in our life, as we go through time, we see God the Father's role, God the Son's role, and God the Holy Spirit's role. And while the Holy Spirit may be the third part of the Trinity, and often the less thought of, He's the most active in us, in our lives. He's also the most active in the church. Because everything God does for us, everything God teaches us, everything that God planned out and executes goes through the Holy Spirit. Even the salvation of our souls. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, one thing you need to remember when you think about God and God's Word and the working of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Trinity altogether is when God said that His Word goes into the world and it does not return void, it accomplishes everything He elects for it to accomplish. That's the same thing with God working with us. Every one of the writers of the Bible wrote as God directed their hearts to write, and every word of it is for profit, because every word of God is for profit. Every time a minister preaches, every time a missionary preaches, anytime a teacher teaches of sort, it goes out of our mouths to profit what God wants it to profit, and it does profit. But let's get back up to the, we'll get to that prophet part in a minute. But let's get back up to the first part of the verse, verse 7, where the Lord talks about the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. The word manifestation means an exhibit or a bestowment. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is God's will for you in your life. Whatever that will is, God gave us all diversities. We've pretty much established that. No two people are the same. We all believe something different. We don't all believe the same. But what we do is we accept the teachings of the Word of God for what the Holy Spirit has taught us. So whatever the Holy Spirit has taught me, whatever He's put in my heart, is an exhibit to you. It's a manifestation of what the Holy Spirit has taught me. I don't believe anything that I have not studied out thoroughly. And anything I do believe, I believe it because the Holy Spirit has taught it to me. I have changed my mind several times through my ministry on things as I see that I was in error. I'm not ashamed to be in error, because when you find you're in error, then you find the truth. And it's always wonderful to find the truth. So whatever God's will for you and your life is what the Holy Spirit manifests in you in your heart, because in your inner person, because that's where the Holy Spirit operates, in your spirit, in your inner person. And that's the exhibit that comes out. That's the manifestation that comes out of the speaker or the teacher, whoever it is. Your life as a Christian is only what people sees as how God works through you. When God works a lot in us, we're blessed more. When he doesn't, we're not blessed as much. But whatever God has given us is more than we deserve. Amen. From the smallest to the greatest, it doesn't matter. We cannot complain. Just like a church member, just like a saved person, we cannot complain because God gave it to us. And we are to be content with whatever state the Lord has made us. Whatever the Lord elected to take that piece of clay and make you into is what you are to be blessed with. And you ought to feel blessed. The whole object of the Holy Spirit's work in man is to help others. Our benefit in the Holy Spirit is the benefit of others, their teaching and our teaching. I've often told you in the church age, one of the greatest benefits we had throughout time was those that sacrificed their lives for the Lord and the church and the teaching. They taught as the Holy Spirit led them, and they died as God ordained them to. All so God could take the gospel and take the Bible and take the church through time till today. You go back and we will look at some of these as much as I can. We will look at these as we get into the church and the study of the church eventually. We're going to look at some of these sacrifices, and we're going to see some people that actually did sacrifice their lives, and churches that sacrificed themselves, and families that sacrificed themselves. Because I think it's important. And what they show us, what do we learn from those people? We learn faith. We learn to be faithful to God in whatever God takes us through, whatever the storm is. Amen. Even if it's giving our lives. We never run. Just like today, we have this disease going around. They said not to have meetings. Here you are at church tonight. Why are you here? Because you're faithful to the Lord, aren't you? God put you here as pastors. We work that we may learn. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. We work hard that we learn. Don't ever think a preacher, a pastor, a missionary, a teacher. Don't work hard. They work hard. We don't study 30 minutes for a 30-minute message or a 30-minute lesson. Or in most of our cases, 45 minutes an hour. We work hard on these things. Right now in the church, I'm reading books. I'm studying as hard as I can, as fiercely as I can. Trying to get as much as I can to teach you. So as pastors, we work hard to learn, and the more we work, the more we can help you, and the more benefit we are to our church. The saddest thing can happen is for a pastor to come to church unprepared. I remember one time I read an article from Brother Mink on that. You don't come to church as a pastor or a teacher unprepared. This is the house of the Lord, and it should be treated as such. We're here to benefit you. Missionaries are in the field to benefit them. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. It says, but he that prophesieth saith unto men, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. To edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies only himself. If I would stand up here right now and speak Spanish, I can't. I could if God gave me the tongue to do it. I can't, but if I could, you wouldn't understand anything. It wouldn't benefit you at all, would it? If I was to ask Brother Keller to come down here, all he did was stand here and preach to you in German, you wouldn't understand a word. But he that prophesies edify the church. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh tongues, except he interpret that which that the church may receive edifying. Speaking not to show our intelligence, but to show the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in the message. I remember as a young preacher, Brother Hammond used to tell me, and he was a well-educated man. He used to tell me, he said, Randy, you can't preach in languages that people don't understand. He said, you may have someone back here with a master's degree or a doctorate degree, and you may have someone up here with a third grade education. You got to speak to everyone. If you're not speaking to everyone, you're not doing what God wants you to do. That's the reason Paul said to the church at Corinth, I come unto you with the simple message of the gospel, not with words of wisdom. I'm going to preach to you the simple English or whatever language it was then. I'm going to preach it to you. I keep getting this English in America. But anyway, I come to speak to you in a simple language that you understand, that you may understand the gospel. We don't accomplish anything if half the congregation don't understand what you're talking about. Every once in a while, Brother Hammond throw them big words down, and I'd have to ask him after church, you know, what'd that mean, brother? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw that in there. He did too. Anyway, speaking to show our intelligence is not showing the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, is it? You think God cares how intelligent you think I am? Or how intelligent you think any other preacher is? That's not our purpose. We're not to glorify in ourselves. We're to glorify in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2. Go back over to chapter 2. Our mission as preachers, as teachers, missionaries, or any work that involves God. Our mission is to edify Jesus Christ, our Savior, and not ourselves. If a preacher's getting fancy, if he's trying to draw your attention, he's wrong. Now, whatever his preaching style is his preaching style. And while some people may like Brother So-and-so because he does this or he does that or he gets that or he don't ever get that, whatever. That's beside the point. But the preacher is never trying to edify himself or make himself a point, nor a teacher. Our mission is one mission, Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. Edifying him. God said he gave him a name above all other names. All right, I got to turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to look at verse 8. I didn't put all the scriptures in there. In verse 8, he says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd actually knew who Jesus was, they never would have crucified him. But they didn't know who he was. They had no idea. Just like when they got done, the centurion said, oh my, I think we may have just crucified the Lord of God. But as it is written, I have not seen, ear had not heard, neither have ye entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God prepared it for you who love God. He's feeding you. He may feed you steak, he may feed you milk, but he's going to feed you. And you can't have steak all the time because it gets worn out. Sometimes you got to have milk. Don't ever forget the little things, the simple things. God hath prepared them. Not me, not any other preacher, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Verse 9 just told us that God's going to put in the heart of man the things he wants you to have because you love him. Then he tells you right here, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. How? Through the man speaking to you. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, because he knows them. He's the Holy Spirit. I don't know them, but I guarantee you the Holy Spirit does. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man except the spirit of man which is known no man? I'm sorry. Maybe reread the whole scripture. I got offline there. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know, it would do well for a lot of preachers to read that. I hear preachers sometimes talk about their dedications and their studies. Well, it's good that you have dedication. It's good that you have studies. But everything you believe about the Word of God, the Spirit of God's given to you. Every bit of truth you ever preach, the Spirit of God give it to you. What you know right now about the Bible is what the Holy Spirit had taught to you. Noel Thomas didn't teach it to you. Oscar Mead didn't teach it to you. I didn't teach it to you. The Holy Spirit taught it to you. He may have used us as tools, but that's all we are, is tools for the benefit of God to use. because it's all by the Spirit of God. And you want to know how this works into the church in verse 12 down? What God does in you, he does also in the church. We'll get to that later. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. I don't know them. None of our other preachers come here know them. We only know what God has allowed us and privileged us and honored us with knowing. We haven't done this on our own. We're not responsible. We're not due credit and glory and honor. God is. I think I'm in 13. We're going down to verse 16. Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Do you hear all this? Doesn't it make so much sense? Isn't it such a great honor to know that God has used his Holy Spirit through your pastors of the past who teach you everything you know? What a glorious honor that God, the creator of this world, the creator of man, creator of everything, took you, a piece of clay, and molded you into an honor vessel. Some more honorable than others. Most certainly. But all of us are honored vessels, or vessels unto honor, either way you want to look at it. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Is the Word of God foolishness unto you? No. Why not? Because the Holy Spirit has taught it to you. You understand it. You love it. But they're foolishness to the lost man. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16 will be our last. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's what we have. We can't instruct the Lord. I hear preachers try sometimes. I hear Christians try sometimes. They can't instruct the Lord. I hear sometimes people pray and they act like they're demanding of God. Don't ever demand of God. You ask God. You plead with God. He don't have to do anything for you. He didn't have to save your soul. Nothing did he have to do for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul also wrote to this church in the very next chapter, chapter 3, these words, edifying God and not himself. Look at verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hereunto we were not able to bear it, neither ye now are able, for you are not for you are yet carnal, that is, not carnal but and spiritually, but carnal mind, not knowing anything, not understanding anything, and walk as man. Paul, showing the Holy Spirit in his words, bringing glory to God and not to himself. Paul says, hey, I have a simple message. It's a message of milk. And the reason I'm teaching it, because you are too cardinal to understand. You have not grown. You're still babes in Christ. And what do you give babes? You don't give them a piece of ribeye, do you? No, you give them milk. And that's what you give to people that don't know. It's like I have someone saved this Sunday, and Wednesday night I come up here and I'm preaching an election. I need to teach this person. This person needs to learn the Word of God. And they start at the bottom and they come upward. You did too when you were saved. That's the way Paul treated these. Paul didn't want to show his brilliance. He was a brilliant man. He probably didn't think so. He did think he worked hard. He said, I labored more than all of them, but he didn't think he was a brilliant man, but he was. Because that's what God made him. I go back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the salvation of Jesus Christ, including the gospel, is all we need. We cannot accomplish more than that God allows us to accomplish. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest or that not the cross of Christ should become of none effect. You don't want to destroy the cross of Christ. So why would you doctrine it up? Why would you put bells and whistles on it? You're not going to make it any more attractive than God is. We don't quit preaching the sovereignty of God because we don't think God's saving enough souls, so we need to doctrine it up and fancy it up a little bit, scare people, so they'll come running to Christ. That's not the way it works. But it is in a lot of these congregations, isn't it? That's the way it works for them. Like one guy used to go to a church over here in Genoa, told me they have a hell house every year. And said, when kids come out of it, they're screaming. So a lot of them fall down and pray the sinner's prayer. He said, we don't know how many take, but some of them do. I just looked at him like, really? Paul said all he needed was the gospel. Why? Because if he added to it, it becomes non-effect. In other words, it's worthless. Folks, this is all we need is the manifestation of the Spirit, and that is to give to every man that which God wants him to have. And you know what? He says in our text, verse 7, in our text, he said, and to profit withal. We are chosen to bring profit to others. Whether Christians or not, our profit is salvation and edification
not our own glory. We go out and we collect it. And we bring it in. And we feed the flock. And we feed the world. They may not know it. They may throw it up, but we feed them. We are chosen to bring a profit to others, not to ourselves. Whether Christians or not, profit of salvation and education is for them and not for our glory. John Trapp, old man, lived back in 1600s, wrote these words. He likens it to bees as a metaphor. Bees all go out and they get their honey that they can get. They collect all that they can get and bring it to the common hive. What we as ministers are collecting of God's word is for the common hive to collect all we can. It's all about the profit of the Holy Spirit. Not ourselves, but the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to go to verse 8 tonight because we're out of time anyway. So we will pick up with verse 8 Sunday night. Okay? Thank you for your attention and your time. Let me cut this video off.